And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she called his name Moses because he was drawn out of the water. Is it an accident that this princess found Moses and that Miriam happened to see it and Miriam called her mother and that Pharaoh himself was paying the wages of Jochebed to raise this baby? Is that an accident or is that God? Amen? That's God. That's God's divine intervention. Romans 8:28, we quote it, we say it, we believe it, we live it, and in this story we know it is true. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are called according to His purpose. God had a purpose for Moses. He had a purpose for him. You see, God had that princess right where she needed to be. God had Miriam right where she needed to be. God had Jochebed and Amram right where they needed to be, and God has you and I right where we need to be on our journey right now. We're right where we need to be in God's plan and God's divine will. The next thing I want to mention, and this will be verses 11 through 15. Mistakes are not the final verdict on our future. Let me say it again. Mistakes are not the final verdict on our future. Now, what happens now? In verse 10, the child grew, and so Jochebed brings Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter, and during the time that she is nursing him and raising him, I want to tell you, she's putting something inside of him. Now, it may not click with him at this point. We're not clear on this picture. At some point, and Hebrews 11, 24 to 26 talk about it. It says when Moses became of age, he chose to be identified with the Hebrews rather than the Egyptians. At some point, he knew he was not an Egyptian. And we're not sure exactly when that time occurred, but somehow I have to believe that something his mom put in his heart stuck there, and then it kind of dawned on him. But at some point, he realizes he is a Hebrew. He's not an Egyptian. Pharaoh's daughter names him and gives him not a Hebrew name, but an Egyptian name, Moshe, which means drawn out of the water. We know it as the name Moses because you were drawn out of the water. And what's interesting to me, this is just a little side trip. If you look at Moses' journey, count the number of times that Moses' journey involved water. At his birth, when the waters of the Nile were turned red by his command, with the parting of the Red Sea, with the water out of the rock, and though this is my opinion and I can't prove it, I believe, because the Bible says when Moses died, God took him. He died under God's control. Nobody knows, the Bible says, nobody knows where Moses is buried to this day. I believe God buried him beneath a body of water. That's what I think. Because he was drawn out of the water. Water had so much to do with his life. And who's going to find him if his body is buried underneath the Nile River or body of water somewhere? I don't know. All I know is that wherever he was buried, nobody found it. Nobody knows. But what we know is that Moses might have died physically, but he still lives, right? Because he appeared with Jesus. So just a side trip. You can think on that. But verse 11 says, it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out to his brethren and looked at their burdens. And he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his brethren. So he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Big mistake for Moses. Took matters into his own hands. He broke one of the very laws that God had instituted in the original covenant with Noah, and had reaffirmed with Abraham of the value of life, and later Moses would be involved with on the Ten Commandments. of not taking a life. And he hit him. And then verse 13, he went out on the second day, and behold, two Hebrew men were fighting, and he said to one who did the wrong, he said, "Why are you striking your companion?" And then he said to Moses, he said, "Who made you a prince and a judge over us? Do you intend to kill me as you killed the Egyptian?" So Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." And he got afraid. And it says, when Pharaoh heard of this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian. And he sat down by a well. Mistakes are not the final verdict on our future. Sometimes in our journey, we make mistakes. At this point, Moses knows he's not an Egyptian. He knows he's a Hebrew. And he tries to do something justifiably. I mean, justifying in his mind, it was an okay thing to do. He saw an Egyptian beating up a Hebrew, so he killed him. But it was not a right thing to do. It was a mistake. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands and ask how many of you have ever made a mistake, because I know how many of you have made a mistake. And if you're here today and you've never made one, I want you to come and look me right in the eye without cracking a smile and tell me, "I have never made a mistake." And I will rub your little head and I will say to you, "You just made your first one." How many know we've all made them? But it doesn't define our destiny. And it's not the final verdict on our future. I've made plenty of mistakes. Say, "Pastor, not you." Oh, yes, me. Our journey will have its share of mistakes. But listen, God will use those mistakes to show us how we need to depend on Him and not on ourselves. That's what mistakes can do. Ask Cheryl how many mistakes I've made. She'll tell you. She'll probably say, "Well, do you have a couple months?" I've made my share. Wrong decisions. How many's ever said something and the minute you said it, you thought, "That was a mistake to say that," right? That was a mistake. Turn around and go, why did I do that? Why did I say that? But those mistakes don't have to define you. And for Moses, what ends up with Moses, because of this mistake, he ends up in the land of Midian. And it's really there where God will train him to be the deliverer. Moses is about 40 years of age when he makes this mistake. He will go spend 40 more years in the land of Midian. Brings us to our next point. Verses 16 through 22. I won't read it all, but my next point is this, that the journey sometimes takes us into a strange land. And that's what Midian was. Moses himself said, "I am a stranger in a strange land." Midian was a strange land. His mistake got him there. But God isn't going to punish him for his mistake. God's going to train him. He's going to use that mistake to train him into the man that he needed to be. And so our mistakes, we don't want to make them, but when we do, say, "God, somehow use this to teach me something." How many know your mistakes ought to teach you something, right? Now, most of us will learn by our mistakes, but there's a few of us that we may make them over and over and over again before it finally dawns on us. We probably oughtn't to make that mistake again, all right? Just some folks are just prone to do that, I suppose. But don't ever let your mistakes get you down to the place where you feel like God will never use you again or never give you another chance. The proverb says that a righteous man falls seven times, and seven times the Lord lifts him back up. Amen? And that seven doesn't mean seven times and you're out. It just is a symbolic number, meaning that when you fall, you get back up again. When you make a mistake, you don't let it be fatal, but you just stand up and let God use it. The journey sometimes takes us into a strange land. What happens in a nutshell is Moses sits down by a well, and all of a sudden, seven girls show up with the flocks. And they get ready to water their flock, and some shepherds come along, some men, and they begin to push those women aside. Now those women, they were seven daughters of a man named Jethro, or Reuel. Most people feel like maybe Jethro was his name, Reuel was his title, but you'll read both. And so they begin to push them out of the way. Well, Moses steps in and says, no, you're not going to do that. And he runs the shepherds off and he draws the water. And so the women, these seven girls, young ladies, go back to their father Jethro with the flocks. And Jethro says, why are you back so soon? And they said, well, this man, this Egyptian, helped us and beat off the shepherds, and he fed our flocks or watered our flocks for us. And Jethro says, where is the man? He's a dad, he's got seven daughters, and none of them are married. Where's the man? You didn't bring him? What's wrong with you girls? Come on. Don't make that mistake. Get that guy here. You know? We'll take care of the other six of you, but someone's going to marry that guy. So they bring Moses to Jethro, and the long story short is that Jethro allows him to marry one of those seven daughters, and her name was Zipporah. And so Moses marries Zipporah, and she bears him two sons. Verse 22, his name is Gershom, for he said, I've been a stranger in a strange land. And then, I forget the name of his other son, but he's two sons are born to him. But for 40 years, he will be in this strange land. But let me tell you something about Moses' journey. Moses needed a Jethro. And that's why I believe God allowed him to go into a strange land. See, Jethro was his father-in-law, but he was also his confidant. When Moses was leading 2 to 3 million people in the wilderness, remember what Jethro does? Moses is trying to deal with the problems of leading people, and every day he sits and he judges every situation comes up, whether it's large or small. And Jethro comes to him and says, look, Moses, you're going to wear yourself out. And Moses says, well, I have to judge the people. I have to decide with arguments. He says, no. He said, what you need to do is you need to divide up all these people into groups of 50 and put a leader over those groups of 50. And then you handle the big things. The things they can't handle, they can bring to you. Because if you don't, you're going to wear yourself out. You're going to burn out before you rust out is what's going to happen. And that kind of advice, how many know it was great advice, right? Moses needed a Jethro because he didn't have a father figure in his life. Think of this. Amram was in his life for a while, but then the only influence he had was a Pharaoh who probably didn't spend a whole lot of time with him. So Moses needed a father figure, and God knew it, and he gave him Jethro. So he's a stranger in a strange land, but on his journey he needed this father figure, this man of wisdom. Moses also needed a Zipporah. He needed a wife. He needed someone that he could confide in, someone he could talk to, someone who would comfort him, someone that would bear him children. And God knew that. Moses also needed a flock to shepherd. Because you see, Moses is going to shepherd 2 to 3 million Israelites pretty soon. And the best training for that is to raise goats and sheep. Because they'll teach you how to herd people. Now, I'm a shepherd over this flock and First Service. I've never raised sheep or goats, but I've raised cows. And I want to tell you, they'll teach you how to pastor. Cows will. All of a sudden it dawns on me, I have just called you all cows. Sorry. You know I don't mean that. Holstein's over here, Jersey's over here, Guernsey's over here. But Moses is going to learn a lot about herding people and leading people by herding the flock. Because God's going to use his shepherding skills. And you can see it all through the journey. And then finally, Moses needs a burning bush. As a matter of fact, we all need a burning bush from time to time. We all need a time when we can get down and have a serious talk with God, where nothing else matters and we realize we're on holy ground. Moses is leading the flock of God on the backside of the desert near Mount Horeb. He looks up and he sees a bush that is burning but is not consumed. And he says to Zipporah, I will go up and see this great sight and see what it means. He goes there and he looks, and out of that burning bush comes the voice of the Almighty God and says, Moses, Moses. Moses says, here I am. He says, take the shoes off your feet, for the ground you're standing on is holy. Moses takes his sandals off. He bows before the Lord, and he and God have this talk. And God says to him immediately, I have heard, I have seen, my children are in bondage, and I'm going to use you to deliver them. All of us need a burning bush experience once in a while, where we have a real serious talk with God about who we are and our destiny and what God wants us to do. Amen? So, all of these things, Jethro, Zipporah, the flocks that he shepherded, and the burning bush, all of that happened in a strange land. Sometimes our journey takes us to some strange places, but God knows we can benefit from them if we're attentive to his plan. Consider the strange land of faith. Faith is where Amram and Jochebed were at. Strange thing they did. They were in a strange land, the land of faith, but they learned a lot about trusting God in that land of faith. What about the land of trust, where you really have to trust the Lord? You don't know what's going to happen, but you just have to trust God and put it into his hand. That's a strange land sometimes, but God will teach us much in the strange land of trust. What about the land of hope, where all we can do is hope against hope that things will work out? Maybe not the way we want them to work out, but the way God wants them to work out. That can be a strange land for us. What about our journey coming to the calm waters where there's no wind for our sails and we just feel like we're stagnated right there? We don't feel like we're moving, we're not going, we're not growing. We don't feel like anything's happening. Sometimes that'll happen in your Christian life. And you need to be very careful when that time comes. It's a calm. It's a place where I forget the term. There's a term for it, though. It's like a dead spot in the ocean where there's no wind, nothing. You're just there. And sometimes in our Christian life, we can end up in a dead spot. God's doing things, but we don't feel it. And so what we tend to want to do is blame. We say, well, the church is to blame. I'm not growing. Or my husband or wife is to blame because we're not nurturing our relationship. Or the kids are to blame. Or the devil's to blame. It's nobody's blame. It's a strange land. And while you're there, though, God is preparing something. Listen, while Moses was in the strange land of Midian, God was looking at the children of Israel, seeing the need, and he knew he was preparing a deliverer to go deliver them. During that strange time in our Christian lives where we don't think anything is happening, believe me, something is happening. You sit your children at a table and feed them macaroni and cheese and then go, okay, I'm going to watch and see if they grow. How many know you're not going to see them grow? But how many know the macaroni and cheese? Boy, I'm hungry for lunch. I better quit really soon. How many know the macaroni and cheese is doing the work it ought to do, right? They are growing. We just can't see it. And you may be in a calm spot in your Christian life. You're growing whether you see it or not. And then there's that strange land of the stormy sea where we wonder if we're ever going to make it out of the storm. But trust me, God's got a purpose for the storm too. Amen. So sometimes our journey will take us to strange places, but we can benefit from them if we get attentive. And now I want to end verses 23 to 25 of Exodus 2, and I'll close. It says, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. And look what happens in the next two verses. Follow me close, if you will, if you have your Bibles, they're on the screen. This fifth point is called the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. We sang it, and this verse is proof of it. God had an overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love for the children of Israel. And he was not going to leave them in their condition. Look what happens. It says, verse 24, so God, number one, heard their groaning. God heard. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Number two, he remembered. Verse 25, and God looked upon the children of Israel. Number three, he looked. And God acknowledged them. Number four, he acknowledged. God heard, he remembered, he looked, and he acknowledged. And all the time he's looking at the children of Israel, he's preparing a deliverer at the burning bush. He saw the need, and he was preparing the answer. And that answer would come, and Moses would lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And I'm convinced this morning that God hears you, has remembered his promises to you, is looking at you, and it has acknowledged your need. And all the time he's done that, he's preparing a deliverer for you. He's preparing an answer for you. He's preparing something that's going to help you on your journey. Would you stand this morning, please? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the journey. Father, this morning we have opened your word and it has shown us so much. And I thank you for your word. I thank you for the journey that all of us are on. And I don't know where people are on their journey, but you do. Because you hear them, you remember them, you look upon them and you acknowledge their need. What love you have for us, Lord. What love you have for that one sheep gone astray where you leave the 99. What love that you kick down the walls, kick open the doors. You do what you have to do to make a way for your people on their journey. Lord, it is a faith journey. And we may go into some strange lands along the journey, but you've got a reason for the strange land. You know what we need. And when we make a mistake along the way, it doesn't dictate our final destiny. We'll learn by it and grow and go on. So whoever this morning might be struggling in their journey, help them to know that you are seeing them, you're hearing them, you're remembering them right now, and you're preparing a deliverer for them at this very moment. You're preparing a Moses to come alongside them and help them and bring them out. It may not be in the way that they want, but it's going to be a way that will bring you glory. And so I thank you, Lord. Encourage someone today. Encourage someone today not to give in, not to give up, not to give over to the enemy, but to stand strong in the faith. And maybe someone might have to send the little basket into the Nile and then say, Lord, I've got to trust you because I don't know what else to do. Lord, that trust will never go unrewarded. Lord, we thank you right now, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Would you just take a moment and say, Lord, I trust you. Just tell the Lord right now, Lord, I'm going to trust you. I'm on my journey and I'm going to trust you right now, Lord, with whatever it is, I'm going to trust you. Thank you, Lord. I pray, God, you'd give me wisdom and give me strength, Lord, and I just trust you right now, Lord, to show me the right thing to do, the right thing to say, Lord. I don't want to make a mistake, but if I have made a mistake, I want you to know, Lord, that I'm going to get back up again, and you will not define me by that, in Jesus' name. Father, I may have to release my Moses into the basket, into the Nile, but if I do, I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to work everything to my good, Lord. I may be in a strange land this very day, the land of hope, the land of faith, the land of trust, the stormy sea or the calm sea, Lord. Wherever I'm at, Lord, it may be a strange land, but I'm going to learn some lessons from it. I must need it or I wouldn't be there, Lord. In Jesus' name right now, Lord, bring peace. Bring peace to those that journey, whatever that journey is. Father, we thank you, Lord. And I just claim all these things for God's people. Thank you that we've been able to be together on this Sunday morning. And I dismiss them with your blessing and with your grace and with your strength. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Amen. Let's thank him for his word today, shall we? Amen. 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 Well, look at someone close and smile and say, God give you strength on your journey. Would you do that? God give you strength on your journey.